This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by optical cables by Corning. Corning's incredibly durable Thunderbolt and USB 3 optical cables are longer, thinner, lighter, and stronger. Go to opticalcablesbycorning.com to learn more. And by IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV is an easy, entertaining approach to online IT training. For a free 7-day trial and 30% off the life of your account, go to itpro.tv/knowhow and use the code KNOWHOW30. Today on KNOWHOW,
Back to School, Part 3.
Know-how, it's the Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I am Father Robert Ballasser.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And this doesn't have a name yet. This is actually the new Know-how mascot.
This is our little corgi ball.
Corgi ball, yeah. Now, at some point, we're probably going to put a poll up in our Google Plus group so everyone can suggest names for the corgi. And yes, I am aware of how this normally goes on the internet, so...
Corgi McCork face?
It's okay, we're not doing any muck face. any suggestion for something's muck something face, that's just no.
Okay, that's off the table then. All right. But to my disappointment, you told me there's a $40 version of this, which would have been bigger?
Yeah. Well, see, I wanted to get that, but then I realized that would have to fit on my desk at some point, and I already have Leo's big 40-something inch monitor, and that's...
So there's not a lot of space for anything else.
Not a whole lot of space.
And you have all your projects, too.
Look, you're so cute.
Look at the little guy.
Oh, look at that.
Well, I'm not going to argue against the corgi mascot for the show.
Precisely. Exactly. So, folks, when you get a chance, hop into our Google Plus group and let us know what you want our mascot to be called. And yes, you can call it your name. And if enough people vote for it, it will be Bleak or Creamy Corn Cob. Go figure. But we're not here to talk about corgis, although I could all day.
I kind of wish we could, yeah.
We're here to do some back to school. Now, the last 2 weeks, we've been doing some interesting episodes showing people items, pieces of technology that we would enjoy in, say, a dorm room, or even if you're in high school for the new year. Like, for example, you had that beautiful Acer monitor.
Yes, that would be great for anyone who wants to do video editing, or you're doing photos, things like that.
Indeed. I had the little the Irby scooter, which I had a lot of fun destroying.
To get around, yep. Indeed. And then Jason did the Acer Chromebook.
We did that balanced episode between iOS, Android, and a little bit of Windows. You know, we showed docking stations, we showed some headphones, and we showed some Chromebooks. So today, I wanted to do something a little bit, more fun.
Yeah.
How about,
by fun, do you mean like fill our tummies?
I mean, how about something we can eat, something we can hear, and then something that just drives our techno lust?
Okay. All right. I'm cool with that.
Okay. Well, we got to start off with this. It's going to be the second segment, but we have to start it now because, well, it's the air fryer. We had this on a while back. This is the Rosewill air fryer. Whole idea is it's got just a little basket that we can put anything into it, and it fries. I mean, it fries, but there's no oil. It's oilless.
So it's healthy.
I mean, it's not as bad as soaking something completely in oil and grease, but, I mean, don't eat this and go, whoa, I'm eating so healthy I can eat five times as much.
Well, I used to only eat one bag of tater tots. Now I can eat three because there's no oil.
Funny you should mention tater tots because yesterday I brought in a 5-pound bag of tater tots. That's all that's left.
Whoa.
Burke found them.
You didn't even cook them either, did you? He ate them all raw.
This thing was full. That's it.
Wow.
Evidently, the air fryer has been a big hit here at TWiT. There's, I think, 4 people have ordered one.
Nice.
Because
and they're not even going back to school. They're just, yeah.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is, and you're going to see this in the actual video review that we did for it. That's all that's left. So, Burke, you can have my tater tot bag. The cool thing about this is the way it's going to fry them, because you've baked tater tots before, right?
Yeah, you get like a cookie sheet or something, throw them on there, and put them in the oven.
And unless you are one of these people who obsesses about cooking, you don't go through the trouble of turning the tater tots halfway through cooking so that
the most sides. Trouble I go through with tater tots is I put more salt or something on them. You know, seasoning salt.
Well, the nice thing about this is that we will be able to cook both sides, all sides of the tater tot, without having to turn them.
Okay, I already like that idea.
It's going to be kind of nice. So we're going to put this in here. We're going to set it for 400 degrees, and like so, 20 minutes. Now, the nice thing about this is this could easily fit into a dorm room. And yes, it is force heating the food, mm-hmm. but you don't get a lot of noise, nor do you get a lot of heat just sort of coming off the top of the fryer.
No, this sounds like a white noise machine almost.
It really
like
is.
People could use this to fall asleep and then wake up to delicious tots.
Precisely. Now, we are going to get back to this in the second segment, but for now, we're going to set it off to the side mm-hmm. because we're not here to talk about delicious, delicious tater tots. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, who wouldn't want to talk?
Tater tot might be a good name for a mascot.
You know, don't take away chat rooms. Wow, that's chat rooms job.
I'll let them have fun
you
with
let
it.
Them have that fun.
All right, fine.
Instead, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk a little bit about my tunes.
Your tunes?
Yeah.
As far as I know, there's only like two songs you've been listening to in the last few months.
Mostly Macklemore and the Chainsmokers.
Yeah.
Don't let me down.
Yeah, that was our theme song in Vegas.
It's an OCD thing for me. I kind of listen to a song until I don't want to listen to it ever again.
Right. Until you've completely memorized
until
the
I'm
lyrics.
Until I'm so sick of it. And the dance moves. Got to have the dance moves.
And the dance moves, yeah.
Although I don't
still
dance.
Working on that.
Still, yeah. That's, yeah. Yeah. There is a move in the Macklemore video that would absolutely destroy my legs.
The
speaker is on. Whoa. Connected.
Oh, Brian.
Connected.
Oh, how about that? It's a talk. Now, we had this a while back. This is a Fugu. I love these speakers. This is, even after, I think it's more than a year since I've had this on a show, this is still my favorite portable Bluetooth speaker.
Well, I just like the inner world voice. It sounds like you're about to listen to an action movie.
It's got the movie trailers guy. Now, the nice thing about the Fugu system is that it always used a interchangeable jacket. And it really, you know, it gave you a lot of options as far as how you wanted to equip it and how you wanted to use this thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I could talk a little bit about it, but I think instead, why don't we just take a trip down memory lane and show you my review of the Fugu.
The Fugu is a Bluetooth-enabled wireless speaker line with a twist. Built around a common core, any Fugu speaker can slip into a specially designed sleeve to morph into the Style, designed for everyday use, the Sport, designed for slightly more rugged applications, and the Tough, built to withstand serious shock to the system. This means that you buy one speaker and you customize it for your specific needs. The Fugu has buttons for power, Bluetooth pairing, and control, as well as volume. There are only two ports, micro USB for charging and a 3.5mm audio jack for those who want to physically connect to their music devices. Sound is generated by six drivers built into the core, two neodymium tweeters, two neodymium woofers, and two passive radiators, all built with an 8-degree upward tilt to provide 360-degree sound around the Fugu. A 6-watt amplifier powers those speakers with a 60Hz to 20kHz frequency response. The Fugu uses Bluetooth 4.0 to connect wirelessly to devices at distances up to 33 feet. It also uses Bluetooth LE to connect to the optional wearable remote control that can provide play, pause, forward, reverse, and power functionality to the connected device. Also supported are the A2DP, the Hands-Free Profile 1.5, and the Headset Profile 1.1 protocols for using the Fugu as a 360-degree full duplex conference speakerphone, complete with omnidirectional echo-canceling microphone. Power is provided by a lithium-ion battery that can be charged from empty in about 3.5 hours. Runtime is rated for an astounding 40 hours of continuous play at 50% volume, and our repeated tests met or exceeded that number over the course of 2 months. Using the Fugu is a breeze. The speaker gives you audio cues along every step of the setup process, and I was up, paired, and playing in just under 20 seconds. Audio quality is very good, with clear sound and exceptionally accurate source reproduction. The low end felt a little weak, but that just may be my addiction to bass-added speaker systems. While the Fugu is more than a competent speaker, what makes it special is its flexibility and durability. The Sport and Tough cases include a dock at the bottom of the sleeve that allows you to mount the Fugu on a multi-mount, a strap mount, and a bike mount. This gives you a fantastic number of ways to attach the Fugu to bags, belts, bars, and vehicles. As a warning, the flexibility means that you can attach to almost anything, but there are a few things that probably should never be attached to your Fugu. As for the toughness, you've probably seen your share of speakers get dropped, dunked, and jostled, but I thought I should take the Fugu to the one place that is usually death for electronics with moving parts, the beach. For the better part of the day, I tried to kill the Fugu. To increase my chances, I removed the core from its protective casings and tossed it, buried it in fine sand, threw it into the surf, got it mucked, and just for good measure, I managed to coat the core in fine metallic particles. This kind of treatment would usually kill even a ruggedized speaker, but after a little wash and shake, the Fugu was ready to power and play. After banging the last of the metallic particles from the core, the Fugu slipped back into its sleeve, no worse for wear.
Now that speaker is tough. I mean, seriously, and this is the same one.
It still works.
It still works. A year and some later, this thing is just fine. I mean,
yeah.
Built right, and it sounds pretty dang good. In fact, here, let me demo some music. Brian, you know, what have we been listening to recently that will not get us into copyright issues?
Recently that won't get us into copyright issues? Nothing.
I think I can play like the first, you know. It's got a little bit of bass going on. It's got a little
sounds
bit of the
familiar.
Sound.
And takedown.
Okay, that's about all we can
yep.
play.
Yep.
Now, the other
sounds
cool thing
though.
About this is it is actually is a speakerphone. This is a conference phone. So it has a microphone, and it uses its the noise cancellation, the echo cancellation, so that it actually sounds really, really good.
Neat.
I can put this in the middle of a conference table, and that acts as a speakerphone for everybody.
Right. And so one of the other things about this is, though, there's different shells, right,
yes.
that you can switch in and out?
Right.
I think
so
at
that's
the
sporty one.
Mm-hmm.
The gray one that you saw, that's more sort of like the executive. It's designed
right.
to be a little
if you're
going to
have it on your desk or something.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Now, this one has attachment points, so I can have it hooked onto my handlebars.
I saw what you had it hooked onto.
To myself.
To the toilet.
hey, you know, I need tunes there too, all right?
So, sometimes you make your own tunes.
Sometimes
there.
That's what you want to do in conference call. But then there's also the ruggedized one. I don't have mm-hmm. that shell, but... That thing, I mean, that can take a beating.
Just the sand and being able to wash off the sand like that. Because that's San Francisco sand.
I had them send me two because I'm like, I'm going to do a test I'm almost positive is going to kill it. Because those metal filings that you get inside San Francisco sand, it destroys everything. You
yeah.
bring something to the beach in San Francisco, it will die.
It's the end of it. I've dropped phones
yeah.
that have never gotten sand out. Yeah,
it's
terrible.
But this is not actually what I'm jazzed about.
What are you jazzed about?
Oh, I don't know. What if I were to take that and supersize it?
What?
Fugu sent me this. This is their new XL version. And most of the time when I say that a company just took a popular product and they made it bigger,
yeah.
I'm making fun of them, right?
Oh, okay.
But this is...
Bigger's better.
Fugu took that and they made it bigger, and this is actually much, much better. This thing is crazy, crazy loud.
Uh-huh.
It's probably not going to replace my original Fugu because I like the size of my original Fugu. But, I mean, literally, look at this. It's like a scaled up version.
You could use this as, like, what you rest your feet on when you're in a sitting in a chair or something. It's huge.
Now, this is going to be between $250 and $330 versus, you know, under $200 for the Fugu. So it does cost a little bit more. But it uses a similar system of interchangeable jackets. So what I can do is I can take
Whoa.
The core out. And then I can change the jacket between this. This is sort of the style. So this is their
yeah.
style version. I could do a sport version, which is just like this. It has all the attachment points. And I can also do a ruggedized version, which, by the way, I saw someone throw from the back of a truck.
And
it just kind of rolled a little bit and turned back on. It was fine.
Nice.
I mean, the cake was messed up, but the core yeah. is the part that's important. Now, look what's in here. The original Fugu had 6 drivers.
Mm-hmm.
This has 8. So I've got my 2 tweeters, I've got my 2 mids, I've got the subwoofer, which also doubles as a mid, and then I've got my passive radiators on either end that sort of, it kind of strengthens the bass response.
Yeah, and you can still use it as a phone or as
yep.
a microphone?
Still use it as a speaker device. It's about 4 pounds, and with the sports and the style model, this thing actually will float.
What?
Yeah, so it'd be perfect for the beach. It'd be perfect to have poolside. You're not actually ever going to destroy it.
Right.
The construction on these things is actually really nice. This is going to use Bluetooth 4.0, which is going to give you a 33-foot range indoor. That's going mm-hmm. through walls. About 120 feet outdoor range if you've got line of sight. Plus, it's also got a, just like the other one, a 3.5-millimeter jack. So if you want to plug in an older device... although I hear they're going to remove this soon and just replace it with a lightning connector.
Right, that's the cool thing to
do now.
That's
the cool thing.
Yeah.
It's very
Everybody
courageous.
Loves that.
Very brave. Very brave to do.
They're so brave.
It also pairs with a voice assistant, so if you wanted to use it with like Siri or Cortana,
uh-huh.
This could be the device that's always listening.
Okay, but what's the battery life like then?
Believe it or not, so this gets you about 40 hours of life.
Not bad.
This
does about 35 easy.
Nice.
So at 50% value, this 50% volume, mm-hmm. This will get you about 35 to 38 hours of playtime.
So plenty of time for a day at the beach or by the pool or just sitting around in your living room.
Right, right. Nice. They've done a few things, like they've increased the number of up-top controls. I mean, if you look overhead, Kara, the original had basically volume up, volume down, and play and pause. This has the same volume up, volume down, play, pause, but then it's also adding skip.
So you
really could be far away from your device and just have this.
Very cool.
Full duplex support. It's got a 37 watt hour lithium polymer battery. It cannot be charged from USB, which I kind of miss that. That's the nice thing about this. It just charges off of a USB charger.
Oh, okay.
But because it's got such a bigger battery, they would take for freaking
forever. Yeah.
So what they've done is, if you open up this port, and by the way, it's IP67, which means it's going to be dustproof, it's waterproof or water resistant down 3 feet for 30 minutes. Inside that, actually, here, if you go there to the side view, Kara, if you, oh, whoa, there we go, that's better. Yeah, wait, there, get that. Yeah. So I've got a couple of connections here. The center one is the power connector. It will charge it from dead to completely full in about 3.5 hours. I've got this one. So what this one is it's a power bank. So I can plug my phone in and get charge off of this.
Okay.
Which is kind of nice. That, it looks like a charging port, a charging USB,
yeah.
But that's actually just to upgrade the firmware.
Oh, okay. So.
Oh, and by the way, Fugu, if you want to make my sister really happy because she loves the Fugu I gave her for Christmas,
yeah.
Make other voices like for in English accents.
English?
Yeah.
Well, does this one have the same voice?
Yeah. So if I turn it on, wait.
Speaker is on.
Speaker is on.
Yeah. Connecting is super simple. Again, you can use the 3.5 millimeter jack, or mm-hmm. All you have to do to pair this is open up the Bluetooth settings in whatever device you want to use. So I've got my little phone here. There we go. Get in there. And then press this. So you press and hold this Bluetooth button right there. And when you see the lights start to change colors.
Ring mode. Use the Bluetooth settings on your device to connect.
It's now ready
pretty
to go.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, straightforward. So anyone who's ever done any sort of pairing, this is how you do it with this.
Disconnected.
There we go. And we're going to connect to the new. Well, there's another Bluetooth speaker in here. Go figure.
Where is it hiding?
It's hiding. You know what? It's got to be one of Jammer B's.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I've been playing with this thing for about a month now. And I got to say, it's not as portable as my original. So it's never going to replace the original.
Right.
But there are some times when I'm just thinking, I wish I had a little bit more volume. I had a little bit more power. And that's exactly mm-hmm. what this is for. And, you know, the fact that they were able to completely bring over the interchangeable shell concept, I really am a fan of that.
I dig that. I think I would like this a lot for a garage. You know,
yeah.
Put it in the garage because I'm making noise when I'm working on my motorcycle or something. And sometimes I have a speaker that's around that size and it's just not loud enough, you know, for those sort of situations when you have cars driving by and you know, ambient noise. But this is sizable.
Yeah, I mean, here, feel the weight between. So obviously, yeah, when they say that's the XL, there's a reason for that. What it really is, it's
little
just
gamer.
It's the concept scaled up. And yeah. This is one of those times where I'm like, that's actually okay. The original was such a good product that just making it bigger does actually make it better.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
So cool. You can pick one of those up for about somewhere between $250 and $330, depending on what kind of jacket you want on that. The
mm-hmm.
style is going to be the least expensive,
right.
And then it goes up from that. Do you want the sport? Do you want the ruggedized one? There's also different accessory packs that you can get with this. I love the fact that I can use this as a power bank.
That's
not
nice.
So much in love with the fact that I have to use an AC adapter to charge it.
Yeah, but you know, I kind of give a pass on that considering how big the battery is. And if you were going to try and charge it through USB, it taking hours on end.
I mean, can you imagine? Oh, yeah, it'll go from dead to full in about 4 days.
4 days. Okay, I'll listen to music then. And, you know, if you're using this as a dorm room speaker or something like that, you definitely want something that can take a hit or can get wet or can get sand on it. Because I think just about all the furniture in the dorm that I was at just got destroyed. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was IKEA furniture, but, you know, when you're throwing the football around inside the room, the thing, bad things got to happen.
What is this football? that you
sport speak ball. Of. I mean, sport ball. Yes.
Wait. So in like real life, because I only play. It
was
on
a yeah. It was a Nerf one, and it was one that you could get wet, and you would throw it at each other across the room. Yeah, it wasn't smart.
What college did you go to?
Not the good ones. Not the good one.
I don't remember that at all.
It was mostly me visiting other people. Okay. Yeah. And instigating.
All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to continue with our back to school. You just heard a ding, which means our tater tots are done. Although
I'm
We've learned that don't eat them right away because we burned a
lot. Yeah, burn? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, let your tots cool.
Exactly. Yeah. But as long as we're talking about audio, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank the first sponsor of Know How. Hey, Brian, you know, one of the fun things about audio is in order to really enjoy a good piece of audio technology, it means you have to create the environment to enjoy it. It's no good to have a $10,000 speaker system if you've got something that sounds like a table saw running in the background at all times.
Yeah, exactly. And fortunately, we have Corning.
Yes, we
Corning
do.
Cables.
If you're looking for acoustic isolation, this, my friends, is what you want to look at.
Yeah.
Now, Corning has been the acknowledged master of fiber optics for years and years and years. It's what they do. It's their lineage. But they really stepped up their game with their Thunderbolt and USB 3 cables. Now, the concept is really simple. This looks like a Thunderbolt connector.
Yeah.
That looks like a Thunderbolt connector.
It
but
is.
This is not copper. There's no copper in it whatsoever. Instead, they get this ultra-durable, ultra-flexible fiber optics that allows you to separate your components from, say, your computer.
And
so if you've got a noisy device, you can put it in the next room. And, yeah, this is how durable it is. This will actually still transmit. That little knot would kill most regular fiber. Not so if you're using Corning. Now, whether you're into high-end video, photography, audio production, or computing, optical cables by Corning will allow you to build a convenient workspace, a quiet workspace, through their superior long-distance connections. Their USB 3.0 and Thunderbolt cables are incredibly strong and flexible. For Thunderbolt, they've got exceptional cable runs of up to 60 meters. That's 200 feet. That makes it so easy for you to move noisy, space-consuming devices away from your workspace. Now, you can bend or walk on Corning cables, and even if they're tangled, it's no problem. They keep transmitting at top speed. Optical cables by Corning will help you achieve acoustic and electrical isolation, especially important for those of you who have spent good money on acoustic, on audio technologies. You don't want to hear the buzz. You don't want to hear the hum. You just want to hear the sweet, sweet music. That's what happens when you use Corning. Now, Universal Audio, which is a company that does testing of high-end equipment, they need acoustic isolation for their testing environment. They can't test a device, a speaker, headphones, whatever it might be, if there's a buzz, if there's a hum in their chamber. So they use Corning cables to separate all those peripherals and make sure that they get the most perfectly isolated acoustic environment possible. Instead of investing on multiple extenders, adapters, and cables, you can turn to optical cables by Corning to establish the connection you need with one simple long-length cable. Optical cables by Corning are available at all major electronics and professional AV retailers, including Apple stores, Amazon, B&H, and more. So here's what we want you to do. If you're looking for a better way to get your devices, your noisy pieces of tech, away from your workspace, you owe it to yourself to try optical cables by Corning. They're longer, thinner, lighter, and stronger. Go to opticalcablesbycorning.com. That's opticalcablesbycorning.com to learn more. And we thank Corning for their support of Know How. All right, Brian, so I'm going to bring this bad mamma jamma back up here.
Right.
The other thing I like about this is it actually stays relatively cool, so I don't have to worry about killing myself as I'm holding the device.
Right, or worried about something else touching it, I guess. It is a little warm in the back.
But. It is. Now, let's go to the overhead. Let's pop this out. See what our
look at those toasty tats.
Oh, that's what I like when they're dark brown like that. People were asking why I had so much time. It's because I like this. I don't like the slightly crisp. I want, like, almost burnt French fry look.
Mm, they smell good.
Yes, they do. We're going to be eating those during the break.
Oh, okay.
But, you know what?
What?
I am not a cook.
No, you just made some tots.
I heated those up.
Yeah, what about a cup of ramen soup? Can you do that?
You could. That'd be kind of weird, but yeah, you could do that in there. I was thinking more like chicken nuggets, maybe buffalo wings.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
a little bit
of mini pizzas. Those would be good in there.
Well, I was referring to, like, what are you capable of cooking?
Oh.
Outside of the realm of frying.
I've boiled water.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I made hard-boiled eggs the other day.
That's a future know-how. We do have to get back in the food check because I'm really not good at it. But you know who is good?
Who?
My sister. So I went over to my sister's house, Melanie Ballister, and I said, hey, look, I've got this device. I know you have a nice kitchen. They just remodeled the house. How would you use it? Show me a couple of ways that I could enjoy a little quick food if I were living in a dorm. So here's what Melanie cooked up for you.
By the request of Padre Este, we're going to make some Spam in this puppy. La! All right. So get your device and just make sure that you uncoil everything. Take that plastic off. Plug it into an outlet. Pretty simple. Ta-da! Good. Then open this up. We're going to wash it up. So let's go ahead and put the Spam in there. 4 pieces for now. So let's put this inside. There you go. And I'm thinking maybe 400 degrees. And let's just do it for 7 minutes, see what happens there. And it's cooking. All right, so it dinged at 7 minutes. Let's see what's going on in here. Look at that, it's actually cooking. It's not quite ready yet. We're gonna put maybe another 2 minutes and see what happens. So we added another minute. And this is what it looks like. Pretty darn good. Pretty crispy. We could eat this. We just fried up the Spam, and we're just going to make some musubi. Spam musubi. I like to use basmati rice. Most of Spam musubi usually uses, like, Calrose. This is not as sticky, but we're just going to compact this a little bit more. I put some rice in here already. And then what we're going to do is going to use the presser in the smolder. Press it down really tight. I don't like a lot of rice, so this is going to be a thin layer rice to Spam ratio. All right, so that's what it looks like all pressed. So we've got the rice punched down to tight mold. We're going to open this up and grab a piece of Spam. Crispy. It is really crispy. Now place it in the mold made just for Spam musubi. Or press this down a little bit more, make sure everything's compact and tight. Cool. And then this is what we got. Ta-da! So we roll this. I am not the best at rolling. So some of the rice came out just because, again, it's not Calrose rice, it's basmati rice, so it's not very sticky. So I like it when the rice is almost the same ratio as the Spam. Mmm.
Oh, good.
All right, so I'm sure you noticed that I did the Spam musubi dry. You can always put teriyaki sauce, or for you hot sauce head, you could do sriracha or sriracha mayo, as well as just putting like some kimchi. Kimchi would be awesome. And so those are pretty good things to do. Like if you're a college student and want something quick and easy, and you happen to have Spam and rice, maybe even a sunny side up egg in there, which is delicious. So now we're gonna do something maybe a little bit simpler, yet maybe a little bit of pizzazz into it, and that is chicken adobo for my Filipino heritage. Chicken adobo is usually cooked with a soy sauce and some kind of vinegar, whether it's sweet or more acidic, and then also with some garlic. In my household, I like to put a lot of mushrooms, but we're just going to make this really simple and more of a marinade. This has been marinating these chicken thighs with skin and bone in. I've been marinating for about 20 minutes. We're going to put it in here and see how it turns out.
Whoa, whoa.
So just placing the thighs in here with the chicken skin up. And remember, these are chicken thighs with bone and skin on, which, to be honest with you, is kind of hard to find these days. But if you do, please get that. That's where all the flavor is in, the bone as well as the skin. The chicken thighs are in, skin up. We're gonna push it into the Rosewell air fryer, and we're gonna put it on to 400 degrees and 20 minutes. See what turns out. Hopefully the thigh skins are gonna be ultra crispy, and around the bone, hopefully no blood. 400 degrees, 20 minutes. We're gonna check it now. Oh my God. So, it cooks really fast. So this might have only taken maybe 10 minutes, but that's crazy fast.
You know, I don't know what you're talking about. I really kind of like the burnt skin. It's super crispy.
That's because you're Filipino. You like the super crispy.
I'm down with it.
The thing about cooking with a new device is always have a backup, because just in case this happens, you can at least figure it out. All right, so we're going to put this one inside, this one that we have left. This should be really marinated well. We're just going to put it in the fryer itself. All right, let's fix the skin. And we're going to just try one. We're going to do 400 degrees still, maybe 375. And then cook it for 10 minutes, half the amount of time that we did last time, just to gauge it. Of course, in cooking, it's always do less, because you can always do more. If you do too much, you can never go back. So it's still crispy, right? It's a little bit black. Some people might be turned off by that, but I think this one is actually pretty good. If you wanted to, you could actually turn it down to maybe 350, since it's a smaller piece of chicken, though you still have to think about the bone being in there. But you could do it a little bit less degree, still for about 10 minutes. I think Rob will like this one. All right, so we did some Spam for Spam Musubi, and then we did adobo marinated chicken. But this one is going to be fail-proof. We're going to do tater tots. And if you've ever cooked tater tots yourself, maybe they've come out partly crispy, partly soggy, and it's really just because you've had the oven on and it's just been able to heat just the top part, so the underbelly doesn't get cooked. So this one, since it's an air fryer, should be able to circulate the heat all around. Now, I've put quite a bit in here. We might take a little bit out just so there's one layer. So maybe we'll do that on half and see what happens. All right, so we're going to do it for 400 degrees. It says here for frozen fries, 9 to 20 minutes. We're going to do 400 degrees, and let's go a little low so we don't burn it. We'll go for 10 minutes and see what happens. All right, so we put in 10 minutes. We add another 5, and this is what it looks like. One layer, two layers, and the two layers cook pretty well still. Not bad. So the best thing about using an air fryer, especially this one, is that you don't really have to worry about the oil, because that can be crazy messy. All you need to do for this one is press the button, lift it up, and then clean this area. After using the Rosewell air fryer, I can tell you that there's definitely a place for this, especially because it takes such small space in the kitchen. If you are in the dorms, maybe in college, or have a smaller condo, or just a kitchen where you need another device to help you cook, this would be perfect, because you can do burgers, like really just grilling things, as well as air frying for all you health freaks, air frying certain things like we did today.
Now, some people are pointing out in the chat room that it's just like a turbo broiler of old, which used to be these devices you would put on top of a standard pot, and it would use forced hot air to fry.
Okay.
That's exactly what this is. The only difference between this and those old styles is that it's got its own built-in container. And I actually really like the way this thing works. Oh, by the way,
look how
you may have noticed
in there.
That the tater tots have kind of disappeared. People saw it go ding, and they came in.
Right, we heard it go ding, and then we were watching your sister cook that food, and we had to try it. Yeah, that was like full.
Now, one thing I should mention is, see, this is actually the basket. This is the tray that everything is held in. So all the grease and all the debris actually falls to the bottom. This is all Teflon, makes it very easy to clean out.
Nice.
But it also means that the air circulates completely around. So, for example, that chicken, was cooked as well on
evenly
the bottom as it
around.
Was on the top.
Yeah, and then all the oil from the chicken just falls down into the bottom.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And I was serious. Even though that skin was burnt, it was still very good.
It sounded a little crunchy, but the meat
crunchy.
Looked good, yeah.
Yeah, it did. I kind of thought this was a novelty item. Like, okay, sure, we'll try an air fryer. But yeah. I really like this. I mean, for $80, this is something that's definitely nice to have inside of a dorm room.
I think we already sold Kara. She already wants one.
Well, Debbie ordered one. Frederick ordered one. I think Josh is getting one. So how about that? Yeah.
Well, when you can
and they're only $60 on Amazon.
Right.
What?
Exactly. So
Get it while it's hot.
Get it.
It's hot.
Now, there are more advanced versions that will do things like they have a little menu, so it'll suggest times for what you're cooking. But
instead of guessing?
Right. Well, you know what? I probably shouldn't have done that right before I started talking. Well, you talk for a while, bro.
Well, your sister made a good point that to, you know, don't overcook it or try go a little bit just under right. what you think you need to do because you can never take it back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with the chicken, probably not a good idea to do for 400 off the bat.
And that's actually the learning curve because things cook so much faster.
Right. So you have to like readjust your clock of how you normally cook things.
If we had cooked that chicken, it would have been about an hour at like 275 or 300 degrees.
Yeah.
If we had boiled it or fried it, which was what we normally do, it would have been at least 45 minutes at a higher boil.
Yeah.
So, you know, this could have done that in about 7 minutes. So if you're looking for a shortcut, this is a pretty good shortcut.
And you like your tots crispy. Those are like French fries in there.
Well, I mean, if they're not crispy, they're not tater tots. They're mushy potatoes.
Mushy tots?
Yeah, mushy tots.
What are the other things they recommend?
Like French fries,
sticks,
burgers.
Shrimp.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort
have
of
you
just,
done a hamburger? Have you
I've
tried
done
that?
Hamburgers work really well in this. Oh. And so do hot dogs. Air fried hot dogs are actually really good.
I like that idea.
Oh, yeah, figure. Doesn't do sushi real well.
Unless it's spam sushi.
Spam sushi. It's masubi.
Masubi.
Masubi. That's not spam sushi.
Not spam sushi.
People are saying it's like ghetto sushi. No, it's a different
thing. It's Hawaiian, right?
Indeed. Mm. All right. Like when we come back, we got one more back-to-school gadget. So we covered music.
Music.
We covered something to eat.
Yeah. You know what so I mean? What else do we need?
How about something that's really, really fast that I can store all my stuff on?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that.
Yes.
But first, let's take another break because we got to thank another sponsor here on Know How. Hey, Brian. What? You know, I get a lot of people who ask me, how do I get into IT?
Well, you just have to be curious about technology, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's how you start. But how do you turn it into a career? Because there's a lot of people who like technology who maybe don't know how to get paid to do it. I mean, they say this is the secret to every career.
Yeah.
Find what you love to do and then find a way to get paid to do it.
Yes.
Well, it's that second part that's kind of difficult.
It is. And to prove to a future employer that you know what you say you know.
Precisely. And so what if I told you that there was a way to online get access to materials that you could learn, mm-hmm. get access to reference content so that you could relearn things that you've forgotten, and also the exams that you need to get certified so that you can take what you're passionate about and turn it into something that you get paid for.
Well, I'd say it exists as IT Pro TV, but also you can get a certificate as an ethical hacker, that's something I want to put on my wall.
Well, I don't know if I want to be an ethical hacker. I want to be a fun hacker.
Fun hacker?
Well, folks, we're not joking. IT Pro TV is the best way for you to bust into the IT field. If it's something that you've been looking at for a while, if it's something that you're not sure whether or not you're ready for but just want to try out, IT Pro TV is a low-risk, low-pressure way for you to try your hand in the wonderful world of IT. Now, IT Pro TV has over 1,000 hours of content and more than 30 hours that are added each week. You can stream courses live on demand worldwide to your Chromecast, your Roku, your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, or your PC. That means that you can learn at your own pace, on your own devices, at home, at work, or on the go. You can learn on your schedule, which is so important to having the material stick in your brain. Now, the course topics include things like Certified Information Systems Security Professional, CompTIA Security Plus, CompTIA A Plus, and Ethical Hacking Version 9. Their October courses include CCNA Routing and Switching, Installation, Storage, and Compute with Server 2016, Windows Operating Fundamentals, Red Hat Linux, Networking with Server 2016. Now, transcripts let you follow from start to finish or jump to any part of the video. This is important because it means if you are looking for the answer to a specific question, let's say you need to know how a SIP trunk works, you don't have to walk through the entire set of videos about SIP trunking and VoIP. You can look at the transcripts, find exactly what you need, jump to that part of the video, and be done with it. They also include over 100 step-by-step virtual machines and transcender practice exams. That's a $109 value. You can take advantage of their low monthly subscription price and no-hassle cancellation policy. And while subscriptions are still the best value, if you just want to try it, you can try IT Pro TV's content on Amazon Video Direct. Now, if you're currently signed up for an enterprise account with an IT Pro TV competitor and they're subjecting you to a rate increase, IT Pro TV will match your previous year's pricing on that account so that you and your team can learn at an affordable rate. They're used by Harvard, MIT, UCSD, Stanford, and more. If those institutions trust IT Pro TV to train their IT people, don't you think it's going to be right for you? Now, if you're looking to start an IT job or you need to get involved in the IT community, try IT Pro TV and their forums, because I tell you, there is no better way to learn. You can check it out at itpro.tv/knowhow, and you'll be able to access the most popular IT certifications available. Premium subscriptions are normally $57 a month or $570 for the year, but we've got a special offer. You can try it free for 7 days when you sign up using our code KNOWHOW30. You'll also receive 30% off the lifetime of your account. That's less than $40 per month or $399 for the entire year. Just visit itpro.tv/knowhow. That's itpro.tv/knowhow. And use the code KNOWHOW30 to try it free for 7 days. Plus, save 30% off the lifetime of your account. And we thank IT Pro TV for their support of KNOWHOW. Okay, Brian. So, this is the fun time. I mean, we
fun
did
time?
A little too...
Haven't we been having fun?
We've had some fun, but I mean, this is the techno-lust side, because
yes.
We like things that are fast. We like things that just, you know, they get our techno-lust up.
Yeah, exactly. And nothing... There's not quite the feeling that you get when you watch a file transfer go like that, or when you're moving 60 gigs of backed up movies and photos and it takes only 4 minutes.
Yeah. There's something about speed of storage, speed of data transfer. Yeah. Once you have it, you don't ever want to go back. It's kind of a human thing, I think.
I like to go fast as a person, if that makes sense. You know, like in a fast car or a fast motorcycle or something. But when your technology goes fast too, like a computers and stuff, it's addictive.
So what you're saying, it would be a personal insult for you to work on a regular data transfer storage device because you like motorcycles and fast cars.
It's more like once you've gone fast, it's hard to go back.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can accept that. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, if you want to go fast, then check out my and Cranky Hippo's favorite piece of storage technology.
The HyperX Savage 240 GB bundle is Kingston's latest ultra-fast SATA Revision 3 SSD rolled into a self-contained upgrade kit for your laptop or desktop. The kit is designed to give users who don't have a PhD in computer geekology the ability to easily and quickly upgrade their computer to live in the rarefied air of the solid-state drive. Inside the box, you'll find a HyperX Savage 240GB SSD, a mounting shim, a 3.5-inch adapter, a USB 3.0 enclosure, a SATA cable, mounting screws, and a screwdriver, with all the bits that you'll need to install your new drive. Kingston also includes a copy of Acronis TrueCopy for those who want to clone their current drives onto the SSD. The Savage is rated for 560 megabytes per second read and 520 megabytes per second write, so it'll be a performance boost for even those with a slightly older SSD, and it should blow the doors off of any computer still using a hard drive. Installation is easy for Mac or Windows users alike. If you plan on cloning your current drive, install a copy of Acronis True Image on your current OS, then insert the HyperX Savage into the USB 3.0 enclosure and connect it to your computer. It will work with USB 2.0 ports, but it's far faster if your system supports USB 3.0. Run Acronis TrueImage and select the cloning option, then let the process run. Once it finishes, your computer should shut off automatically. You can now swap out your current drive with the HyperX Savage and boot into your now much faster operating system. For users who are comfortable with doing a complete restore of their systems, I suggest that you bypass the cloning process and instead install a fresh copy of the OS on your programs. Doing so tends to decrapify your operating system, getting you the best possible performance out of your new upgrade. Now it's time for the big question. How does it perform? For our baseline, we used a 7200 RPM Seagate hard drive in an Acer Predator gaming desktop. In Crystal Disk Mark, the hard drive scored 208.4 megabytes per second read and 168.2 megabytes per second write in the sequential multi-thread test. 2.693 megabytes per second read and 2.102 megabytes per second write in the 4K multi-thread test. 205.3 megabytes per second read and 181.8 megabytes per second write in the sequential single-thread test. And 1.543 megabytes per second read and 2.052 megabytes per second write in the 4K single-thread test. The Kingston Savage did a little bit better. In the sequential multi-thread, it scored 560.9 megabytes per second read and 537.2 megabytes per second write. In the 4K multithread, 305.8 megabytes per second read and 295.9 megabytes per second write, 335.3 megabytes per second read, and 520.3 megabytes per second write in the sequential single thread, and 22.39 megabytes per second read and 108.3 megabytes per second write in the 4K single thread. Of course, that's just a straight storage score. We use PCMark to get a composite score that weighed all the subsystems. The Predator with a Seagate hard drive scored 3,934. The exact same desktop with just the Savage swapped out for the hard drive scored 4,788. That's a 21.7% performance increase. Of course, some applications will benefit more from fast storage like the Savage. Video editors will notice a huge difference in performance, but even the casual user will enjoy decreased boot times and program load times, increased system responsiveness, and other SSD goodness. Any way you cut it, the Kingston Savage is a fantastic way to supercharge your PC. This is the Kingston HyperX Predator 480. It's a high-speed 480GB storage device that does to standard solid-state drives what solid-state drives did to hard drives. It makes them feel slow. While the highest performance SSDs will top out at about 590MB per second read and 550MB per second write, the HyperX will do 1400MB per second read and 1000MB per second write. Internally, the HyperX Predator includes all the odds and ends that you would expect from a high-end SSD. Garbage collection, standard bootability with AHCI driver support, and a power consumption between 1.38 and 8.25 watts. The Predator's wear leveling is also of note because it not only distributes writes evenly across all flash blocks, but it also enforces a strict 2% maximum difference in the wear between the most used and the least used block. Because of this, Kingston estimates 882 terabytes of total bytes written to the drive before end of life. Out of the box, the HyperX Predator is ready to install. Kingston includes a M.2 card, a PCI Express adapter, as well as standard and low-profile mounting brackets. The keys to the HyperX Predator speed is the Marvell controller combined with Kingston's NAND flash in an M.2 package, and the fact that it uses your PC's 4-lane PCIe 2.0 slot instead of a SATA port. My first plan was to baseline the test with an Acer Predator AG3 running a 1TB Seagate 7200 RPM Barracuda hard drive. Unfortunately, the AG3 didn't have an available 4-lane or better PCI Express slot. Instead, I found a Gateway FX6803 desktop with an older 4-lane PCI Express slot, loaded up Windows 7 on a 500GB hard drive, and got cranking. Installation is simple. The M.2 card comes pre-installed on the PCI Express adapter. If you have a half-height case, you can swap out mounting brackets. Otherwise, find an empty X4 slot, slide in the adapter, and secure the bracket. Using Crystal Disk Mark, I benchmarked the hard drive and got 68.31 megabytes per second read and 62.78 megabytes per second write in the sequential multi-thread 128K test. In the 4K multi-thread test, it scored 1.744 megabytes per second read and 1.426 megabytes per second write. The sequential single-thread 1-megabyte test clocked at 61.23 megabytes per second read and 61.86 megabytes per second write. And the random 4K single-thread test earned 0.530 megabytes per second read and 1.275 megabytes per second write. With the baseline set, I benchmarked the Predator and got 775.5 megabytes per second read and 766.7 megabytes per second write in the sequential multi-thread 128K test. 153.1 megabytes per second read and 109.7 megabytes per second write in the random 4K multi-thread test. 615.7 megabytes per second read and 669.3 megabytes per second write in the sequential 1 megabyte single-thread test. And 25.02 megabytes per second read and 46.63 megabytes per second write in the random 4K single thread test. It should be noted that even though these scores are impressive, it would have scored even higher, perhaps double, with a more modern machine running Windows 8. But the message is clear. If the Predator can do this for a 6-year-old desktop, imagine what it could do for the latest power machine.
Oh, I was forced to do that test on a 7-year-old desktop. It had PCI, a 4-lane slot, but it was only 4-lane revision 1. I just dropped this thing into a revision 2, and it got me 1,500 and over, and 1,100 for write. So it's now
that's quick.
People in the chat room are pointing out that Samsung's 860 is faster. They've got a sequential that will do 3.5 and 2.1. Mm-hmm. And I like Samsung, I like Intel, and I like Kingston. Those are my three. I've used them all, and I like them all.
Those are solid.
Those are very, very solid. What I will say is this is crazy cheaper, like a ridiculous amount cheaper. And actually, they've got the new version that uses the new controller that is much better. So what Kingston has done, and no one else has done this yet, they've got a new switching fabric that actually allows you to connect multiple M.2 drives, and it will look like one big bus, which increases the throughput because you can write and read to multiple at the same time.
Awesome.
And it also means that essentially you've got unlimited capacity.
That is so cool.
It's going to be very, very cool.
And they say, once you've used that, or you've gotten that kind of speed, you can't go back.
Yeah. The other thing about Kingston, and this is a really techie thing, and it doesn't matter to most people. It matters to me because in the applications I use, I've got a lot of I.O., a lot of I.O. In fact, I'm more concerned with my I.O. than I am with my pure bandwidth, my pure speed, because speed is just, okay, how much can I write to it and pull from it at any given time.
Right.
When I use something in, say, a more network application where I've got multiple clients, multiple applications pulling from the same device, what you'll find is the HyperX line actually holds up much better than either the Intel or the Samsung line. In other words, if I was just doing a single burst from a single application, those others might actually be faster. But once I start doing real-world stuff where I'm drawing multiple bits at the same time, those others lag out, whereas the Kingston kind of just stays steady. So go figure. Different kind of architectures.
And so I have like an old 5-year-old gaming PC. I built it myself, gaming PC. It's old. I wanted to do one of the x4 PCI slots. And I was like, oh no, my motherboard's too old. And you gave me one of these drives. It's like, all right, well, it comes with this nice little carrying case, and it's super easy to
USB 3, so that is
USB 3, and it's super easy to just insert the drive.
By the way, I didn't give this to you.
Kingston.
Yeah, because I was like, hey, you know my bro.
He got jelly
at the one I bought, and so I'm like,
I want to play with it.
What about that?
But so I've been using it. I used it when we went to IFA because I wanted to move a few media files and things like that. And then more recently, I was upgrading to Sierra for my MacBook Air. And I was like, I should probably get my files off of there before I do that, just in case. I was like, all right, 60 gigs worth of movies, photos. This is going to take a while. So I plugged my laptop in, plugged in the hard drive, started moving the files over. And I walked into the kitchen, got like a cup of coffee, came back. I was like, oh, it's almost done. Like, it took less than 4 minutes, I think, to move, like, 60 gigs over USB 3.
The first time that happens, it's just one of these, what just happened? It's so fast, and it's ridiculous. So this is what the HyperX looks like. Now, I got a little bit of cash, and I bought myself the 960-gigabyte version. This is a little pricey. So the Savage is not the most expensive item they have anymore. It's about $85 for a 240-gigabyte version. It's about $140 for the 480 version. So that's the sweet spot right now. It's about $290 for the 960-gigabyte version. And, I mean, I actually like the kit. They include a really nice installation kit here that, yes, includes all the tools, but this enclosure is awesome. And this is why I wanted to include this on the back to school. Yes, it would make your computer faster, but a lot of us move around a lot of data, and there's nothing like having it on an SSD, a real fast SSD versus like a smaller USB flash drive.
Yeah, definitely. Worked really well. The case is nice, and it has like a little foam thing in there to keep the drive from moving around. But I can't believe the prices on those, though.
I know.
It wasn't that long ago that it was like $1 a gig for an SSD.
Yeah,
I think
way down.
Yeah, so.
Actually, it was more than that. The first SSD I ever had was a 32 gigabyte Samsung, and it was like the all aluminum one.
Yeah.
And that was $1,000. That's crazy.
So when I do build my next PC, I'll be using this drive as my main one, but it's going to be hard giving it up as a portable drive, too.
Yeah, it is. The other thing I should mention is on this show, I have often said, don't get the value drives.
Right.
Just it's not worth it for me because the price difference typically between a value drive and like the full
enterprise drive,
it's not that much. It's a couple of bucks. I mean, if you're really looking to budget something, it makes sense. But we did have our friends from Kingston come over, and they we're going to be doing in a future episode. the way that they make their new value lines.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, what they were saying is, look, a lot of other manufacturers will take poorly binned parts. So the parts that didn't come up to snuff, and those will become their value drives.
Right.
The new line of Kingston drives, which I'm having really a lot of trouble getting open here.
Oh, and a shrink wrap on there. Well, Alan Malventano also came on and talked to us about that sort of stuff, too.
Yeah, well, these were specifically made at this speed and at this price. So right. What you get is you actually get a value drive that's
built for that. It wasn't just, oh, this is a reject.
Precisely. Okay. So this is their UV line. I'm going to be giving this a go over the next couple of months. What I want to see is can this be as reliable as I would expect out of one of their bigger drives? And furthermore, you know, is this going to be fast enough? Because when you look at this versus the Savage, yeah, the Savage will do 560, 500 plus for write. This will do 550 for read and 490 for write. So it's really, really, really close. This is not one of these value drives that's half the speed. This is, you know, within 10% or so of the faster drives.
So how much is this one?
Well, so this is the 480 gigabyte version. This is 110. The 240 gigabyte version is 60. So again, this is the sweet spot.
Yeah.
And then the 960 gigabyte version is $240. Hmm. What I'm thinking, though, is this would actually be the perfect drive if you intended to use it as an external.
Yeah, this is a little bit of overkill as an external,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's almost, I mean, you've got a terabyte of SSD storage, Ryan. This is screaming to be put in a laptop somewhere.
I know. I need to. Well, what I want to do is build a new rig. We should do that for a know-how, right? You know what? I still have stuff I need to get off of there. You can't take that back.
My drive wants a friend.
they like each other.
They like each other. They do.
But, yeah, when I build a new PC that can handle this sort of thing, because it's going to be disappointing for me to put it in my old PC that I have right now.
Kind of, right? You feel that?
Yeah. So I'm going to wait until I build a new machine, which I'm hoping... I'm waiting until some of the more information comes out on the AMD Zen processors.
Yes,
and then some of the new GPUs that are coming out. Because I'm kind of an underdog guy, which I've always gone like AMD ATI back in the day and stuff. And Alex was always an Intel NVIDIA guy. And it was always fun to like price and performance compare with each other.
See, for me, that's the fun part. Because Leo on the new screensavers, they built the ultimate PC for VR gaming. Spared no expense. They bought the most expensive of everything, the best video card, the best memory, the best processor, the best SSD. I think the challenge really is to do a more practical build, which is I want to put something together and I want to use really good parts and I want to get a lot of speed, but I don't want to pay 50% more to get 3% increase in performance.
Right.
And that's why I'm always a fan of products like this, which, yeah, they're not the fastest on the market if you look at the numbers, it's straight up specs. Mm-hmm. But when you look at price performance, it's awesome. It's the same reason why I'm a big fan of Acer, because they've got a lot of computers that, you know, they're not the fastest. Sometimes they're not even the lightest or the thinnest. But where they put it in its pricing, it just makes it a compelling story.
Yeah. There's more to it than just the statistics.
Yeah.
Just the number crunching.
Yeah. So I think what we're really saying is, Leo, we'd like the budget for a build.
For a PC build? Yeah. Huh?
See? We can has money.
Please.
Folks, we understand that this was a lot of information, especially since we did all these products. We want to make it very easy for you to find out all the information about our testing methodology, about the products we actually looked at. You're going to find that on our show page, which, where is it, Brian?
Well, that would be at twit.tv/KH. And not only will you find all the show notes or links of all the hard drives that we listed off today, but if you've ever had FOMO, you know, fear
FOMO,
of missing out,
yeah.
You'll want to subscribe to the show, and you'll never miss an episode.
We don't do FOMO. We do FO-no.
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 Fear of missing know-how.
Yeah. Also, don't forget to go to our Google Plus group, where eventually you will be able to vote for the
Tater
name
Tot.
Of
temporary name is Tater
Tot. Name him Tater Tot.
Tater Tot's such a good name for a corgi,
okay, you
though.
Know, you can submit it, and if they vote for it, then he'll be Tater Tot.
They're brown. They're cylindrical.
It is perfect. But we want to give him a chance, right?
Okay.
We want to give him a chance.
Okay.
Maybe... Tater Tot face.
Tater Tot.
But you can find it on Google Plus. Just go to Google Plus, look for Know How. There is an approval process because we need to keep out all the spam accounts. But once you're in, you get access to over 10,000 keys. That's our know-it-alls. We have people who are beginners, who are looking for help to create products. We have we have people who are experts who have been doing it for years who can mm-hmm. lend you their knowledge. And of course, we've got all the rest of us, including, or I put myself and Brian, which is we're amateurs, but we enjoy what we do.
We like to learn.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to learn, if you want to teach, if you want to be part of a community, go to Google Plus and join Know How.
That's right. But if you want to keep up with us when we're not doing Know How, and you want to see, I think, what was it, Alex's birthday?
Yes.
That
yes.
we did the Twin Peaks photo. You can find that sort of thing on Twitter. I'm at @cranky_hippo.
And you're going to find me at @PadreSJ. And we don't have Alex today because he's out for his birthday celebration. He went to a fancy dinner party.
Yes, he's having martinis and steak,
holding out his pinky.
Yes.
Saying things like, oh, yes. But if you want to talk to the person who is actually pushing our buttons right now, it's Kara Cole. I don't think she has a camera.
I don't.
Just wave.
Oh. I'm there here. I put my lights on.
Right in the back of the
Really, these lights are pointless. I don't have a camera. It's just for me to feel pretty.
Yeah. Kara, where do they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Kara080.
All right. Cool. Folks, until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballas here.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And now that you know how,
you gotta go fast.